have loved you anyway.
If you had just looked once or twice
and gone upon your quiet way,
stay safe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome again to F This Movie, the official podcast of FThisMovie.com. Movie love for movie lovers. My name is Patrick Bromley, and happy holidays here for the 2018 holiday show. As is our tradition, I am joined by Adam Riske.
Tradition!
Tradition!
Last year's show is going to be a tough act to beat, but I think we have it in us.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. The postman was pretty awesome.
I mean, we had the sizzle, but I think we've got the steak still. Or no, we had the steak. Yeah. This time we've got the sizzle.
Are we? So I'm not calling this the movies that we're talking about. Do we want to hold off on what we're talking about?
Oh, of course.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
If nothing else, the holiday show is the tease podcast.
So this is actually posting the week of Christmas. Those of you who celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And happy holidays to everyone. Thank you guys for another year listening to us. There will be another show next week, so that sounds like I'm just wrapping up. But anyway, our holiday spectacular will begin in a little bit. But
well, what are we doing?
Yeah, we're going to talk about what we've seen lately first.
Oh, I thought we were going to like color these ornaments.
We do have some ornaments. Erica gave us some ornaments to color. It might make for some dead space. Mm-hmm. And we have some Hanukkah cookies that will break out as a snack, but I don't want to do it yet. I want to pace ourselves like Bastion with the sandwich.
It's shortbread in your favorite Hanukkah shapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's presumptuous. They don't know what my favorite Hanukkah shape is.
What is it?
A circumcised penis.
They have one of those.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take those, please.
I'm going to eat the uncircumcised one because I like to be dangerous. They also have, I didn't buy this, but they had, at another store, I noticed they had Hanukkah chocolate Maccabees.
Okay.
And I felt weird, like, eating a Maccabee.
What's a Maccabee?
You exposed me. A Maccabee is, like, a Hanukkah guy.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Have you ever seen Full Court Miracle, the Disney Channel original movie?
No.
Okay.
There's
Judah
old.
And the Maccabees.
Got it. Okay.
LSD Linz is in it.
Well, I am a fan of the Linz.
He plays
He's my Kevin Arnold.
He plays a kid named Schlotsky.
What are you even saying right now?
And it's like the perfect...
Remember
might have
Schlotsky's
to be,
Deli?
Oh, yeah.
What happened to that place?
Oh, burns in hell. I'm not sure. No, I'm mildly obsessed, though, with a... On The Score, which is the sports radio station in Chicago, they have Bruce Levine does a radio spot for this deli. And he always like, he's like, don't forget the kosher pickles. And that's just like the greatest radio spot. Like every time they play it, I'm like texting Pomero. I'm like, Max and Benny's at
nice.
On your radio.
Have you been there yet?
I haven't. Yeah, it's in Northbrook. I probably should go.
That's not that far.
No.
I work out there sometimes.
No. They're like, meet me in the biscuit at Sugar Cookie Lane.
Why is the giant pickle part of it? The deli experience. I don't like pickles.
No,
so.
I don't either. I'm rare in that case. I like relish.
No, nothing in the pickle family for me, but it's just weird that it's like that's part of it, that you have to get a giant pickle.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I wasn't there for like Jewish pickle origins, but I'm sure it happened in like 20th century.
I thought you were going to say like 2011, 2012.
I stumbled, and then all that came out was 8th century.
Adam, have you seen anything good lately?
I've seen a lot of stuff, and some of it is good.
Let's have it, man.
But before we do that,
I'm just kidding. Let's not have it.
Are you feeling in the mood for a holiday poem?
You know what? I am.
Because I wrote one this morning.
It's Christmas week. Of course I am.
Okay. This took an hour.
Wow.
I had time to prep for a meeting or do this, and I chose this. So everybody grab a cup of Joe,
mm-hmm.
Sit by the fire, find a loved one. Wrap them in a comfortable Afghan blanket.
Yes.
Here we go.
All right.
'Twas the night before draft day, a huge day for the Browns. All of Cleveland was stirring, and Sonny Weaver Jr. was making the rounds. Mm-hmm. The sportscasters were sure he'd pick Ray Jennings with care, in hopes that rushing touchdown soon would be there. Owner Anthony Molina was nestled all snug in his bed, with visions of Sonny making a big splash, the kind that would turn heads. Move from pick 7 to 1, get Bo Callahan and give him my cap, had just settled into Anthony's brain for a long spring nap. Mm-hmm. When on Sonny's phone arose such a clatter, Sonny sprang from his bed to see what was the matter. Away to the war room, he flew like a flash, woke up Jennifer Garner, who was dreaming of cap-friendly cash. The pancake-chewing Seahawks GM had something to show, giving Sonny a vision of where Anthony wanted to go. You get number 1 if you give me your first rounder for the next 3 years. It was not a good deal. More likely, Sonny'd get jeers. Sonny said no and wrote himself a note quick, the kind of message to himself he hoped that would stick. He just wanted his own team, one built in his name. If everything were dictated by Anthony or Coach Penn, it would be a big shame. A linebacker from OSU. Our defense needs fixin'. So quick, so smart. Vontae's just what we're missing. Anthony met Sonny to sound out the call. Take the deal. Draft Callahan or I'll nail your head to the wall. Bo was can't miss. He'd be great as their guy. But Sonny thought they could still be 4-1 with their current QB, by the by. Keep Vontae to himself all day, that Sonny knew. He was worried how he'd do it, especially the rejection felt by QB Brian Drew. Sonny took the trade, did diligence, still wanted some proof. Find out from his sources if Bo was a goof. He learned Bo was an asshole. It's all that he found. For example, at his 21st birthday party, none of his college teammates were around. Mm-hmm. Sonny put on his suit, Cleveland strong head to foot, ready for the draft, wheeling, dealing, no one else's input. It came time for the pick. Sonny hit the league with a smack. He didn't draft Bo. He went for projected late first rounder Vontae Mack.
No matter what.
The war room freaked out. Anthony's rage was scary. He's on his way back to Cleveland. Sonny better be wary. Sonny had to keep pushing. His plan was go, go, go. Traded for pick number 6, giving the Jags three future second rounders to show. Sonny called the Seahawks GM, who was gritting his teeth. Their fans still wanted Bo. It was their holiday wreath. What do you want for 6, Sonny? Said the GM, queasy in his belly. Sonny said, I want all my picks back. A bright Browns future to make the league jelly. The Seahawks GM couldn't believe it and leaned on a shelf. He got Bo back, but not before embarrassing himself. Mm. With a wink in his eye and a twist of his head, Sonny drafted Ray Jennings at 7 and brought back the Browns from the dead. The war room was stunned. Mack, Jennings, plus David Putney from his work. They certainly felt bad for treating Sonny like a jerk. Sonny said to Coach Penn, would this be the team you would have chose? Penn then said, I can coach this team. All these pickups are pros. Sonny went to the draft party. Anthony summoned with a whistle. You made a big splash and people are going to get wet. Sorry for the bristle. Vontae Mack, no matter what, was Sonny's note for the night. So say it with me, you pancake-eating motherfuckers. Happy draft day to all, and to all a good night.
That was epic. Wow.
Yeah.
Does
My
anyone have
still went well.
Does anyone have a way of getting that to Ivan Reitman? I really feel like he needs to hear it and know what an impact his movie has made on just one life.
One of the best 4 movies of the past 4 years.
What are the other 3?
It always changes.
But Draft Day is the constant.
Draft Day is the number
draft
one.
Draft Day is your penny.
Draft Day is the bomb.
By the way, while we're thinking of getting this to Ivan Reitman, let's wish a very happy holiday welcome to Lacey Chabert.
Oh, my goodness.
The unofficial muse of our show.
Yes. I was telling Rob, I think it's 1 in 100. I get a walk-on in that Hallmark Judaism movie.
It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Chabert Jew.
That was an amazing poem, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for making this episode special.
Aww.
I did nothing to prepare. I have nothing draft day related or otherwise.
It's all good, and I commend you because I know how awkward it can be when somebody's maybe reading a poem in your face. So I was trying to look away.
The hand on my leg helped. So
that was
made it less awkward. Well, he's here with all of us.
Yes. Okay, So what have I seen?
Yeah.
We're still talking about movies, right?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Barely.
So I got a request on the reserve seating article to talk about Speed Kills.
Yes.
So I did see Speed Kills. I was going to write about Speed Kills, but then you and I think Heather were talking about Gotti on a show not too long ago.
Okay.
And you, like, really just kind of said everything that I wanted to say.
Oh.
So I'm just like, I don't want to...
I don't remember what I said.
Double up.
Even a little.
It was a lot of, you know, like, that Travolta still gives his all even though the material doesn't call for it. And that somehow that's kind of more embarrassing.
Yeah, his all becomes misguided.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Gotti is better than Speed Kills.
Yikes.
Yes.
I'm trying to conceive of that because I thought Gotti was pretty incompetent.
So you know how Gotti is borrowing heavily from Goodfellas?
I hadn't noticed.
So Speed Kills is borrowing a lot from, like, Bugsy.
Okay. I saw at Piper's Alley once and don't remember.
Aw, I like it. It's yeah, good.
It may be very good. I just don't remember it.
Yeah. So the Ghost of the Christmas Past will take us back to that night. And we are going to see Bugsy at Piper's Alley and going to see Tony and Tina's wedding afterwards. It's like Bugsy with Go Fast Boats. He's mm-hmm. the guy who, like, popularized Go Fast Boats.
Well, finally.
So
I have him to thank for Miami Vice.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
I guess
so,
something good came out of it.
It's weird because, all right, so Travolta is very much in vanity mode where it's like, all the girls are hot for me.
Well,
and
of course.
Like,
you've seen him.
And he's got, like, Etch-a-Sketch hair. And it's just, like, really weird. And he has this, like, one scene where he's telling a joke, and, like, you know how, like, sometimes they'll have, like, a scene where they're introducing somebody or, like, somebody has to interrupt the group and, like, get the main character, like, to talk to them, and yeah. then they're like, oh, well, how do we start this so it doesn't feel cold at the beginning? He has a joke, so mm-hmm. like, he's telling this joke and everybody, of course, like, laughs really hard, but this is the joke, and, like, it's the dumbest thing I've ever
all
heard.
Right.
It's maybe the worst thing I've heard all year. So he's just like, this girl I know, she had two Marilyn Monroe tattoos, and she got one on each thigh. And nobody thought that they looked like Marilyn Monroe. So she walked out in the street, and she asked this random homeless guy, and he goes, hey, does this look like Marilyn Monroe to you? And he says, no, but that one in the middle definitely looks like Willie Nelson. And then he goes, and he, like, arches his back and, like, takes a puff of his cigarette.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's just like, this is Speed Kills.
Did her vagina have two braids? Because otherwise I don't get the joke.
No, singing You're Always on My Mind.
Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could.
Shut up, vagina. So
embarrassing.
Ugh. But, okay. This
you were always on my mind.
So this is a movie. I'm going to give you two guesses of who would be in this movie as a co-star. I'm going to give you hints.
All right.
Miami, cocaine.
Pitbull.
No. shady dealings, murder, Jordy Mola.
That makes sense.
I feel like Jordy Mola is like when Michael Keaton's sitting in the Batcave just waiting for his signal, and his agent's just like, cocaine Miami, and he's just like, I'm ready. So that movie was not good. Matthew Modine plays George H.W. Bush, and there's a scene where they're just like, say hi to Barbara for me, and it's just Matthew Modine being like, I will.
What the fuck? I have a theory about Matthew Modine that he was never a good actor. I've liked him in stuff,
yeah,
but I don't think that's the same.
Some things. I liked him in Vision Quest.
I haven't seen Vision Quest in so long.
Okay.
I really like him in Married to the Mob.
Okay.
He's like real loose and kind of goofy in that movie. Otherwise, I think he might always be bad. Even Full Metal Jacket, like, I think he serves the material.
Yeah, he's
but I think
a weird, stilted.
And I think that was Stanley Kubrick, like, knowing what to do with him.
Yeah.
I'd be curious about the Anthony Michael Hall version.
Yeah. Did they ever shoot anything with him?
I don't think they did.
Okay.
I think he was there for a while and then was dismissed and left.
Okay.
But I don't think they started shooting. I could be wrong.
Yeah. I would like to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would more like to see a documentary of Stanley Kubrick talking and directing Anthony Michael Hall in the late 80s.
Absolutely.
Like Johnny B. Goode.
Yes.
Time frame.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I would like to see Stanley Kubrick direct Johnny B. Goode.
I would like that too.
I saw that movie once and didn't like it, but
yeah, I think that was one of my first R's, like on cable.
Yeah,
yeah. And then my dad was like, "Someone doesn't have their underwear, go out of the room."
The Anthony Michael Hall vanity years were not great.
No,
no,
no, not really. You and I talked about this one a little bit over text. I watched Capone with Ben Gazzara.
Yes.
It's like if Gangster Squad came out in 1975, so it's very
not selling me.
Interesting.
Really didn't like Gangster Squad.
No, no. Stallone is in it as Frank Nitti, which, okay, between, so I watched it because The New Beverly is playing it, and they paired it with The Untouchables, so I rewatched The Untouchables, which I've seen 100 times, and it's wonderful.
It's, it's good.
But I can't get a handle on who Frank Nitti is just by his screen persona, because you got Billy Drago, Frank Nitti. You've got Stallone, Frank Nitti, who are kind of the same, but Stallone is more of like a smart operator guy and ruthless. And then, like, you've got in Road to Perdition, Stanley Tucci plays Frank Nitti, and he's basically just like a guy behind a desk.
I have no memory of Stanley Tucci even being in Road to Perdition.
Okay.
I think I saw it twice in theaters.
Yeah.
And never since.
I like it. I haven't seen it in a long time.
I think I remember liking it, but I think I like wanted to like it a little bit because I thought American Beauty was really good back then.
It was one of those movies like you wanted to be great so bad.
Right.
It's just good.
Right.
Yeah.
I had a whole costume fitting for that movie and everything, but I didn't show up the day of shooting.
Oh, I didn't know that you were involved.
Yeah. I was the Anthony Michael Hall.
Was that the day that your vagina was singing?
Yeah.
And you couldn't get the show?
Oh, so embarrassing.
Yeah, so like,
on the road again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
I love that it only sings. It only sings really
well. Well, of course.
Yeah. It's like teaching Jessica Simpson these boots are made for walking.
My vagina has a great scene in Thief. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's a really, it's a showstopper.
Yeah.
Well, James Caan was so intense.
No doubt. That Prosky. and then Ben Gazzara plays Al Capone, and I'm not super familiar with Gazzara's stuff because I wasn't like a big John Cassavetes follower or anything like that. But I've seen him in Roadhouse and I think he's great. And then like he's so hammy, but it's like my kind of hammy actor. So like the whole movie is just is like
you saying, by the way, my kind of hammy. Jordy Moya's ears just perked up. Did someone say Miami?
Oh, man. Oh, by the way, Bad Boys 3 today casted the Princess Switch's Vanessa Hudgens.
I have an idea for Bad Boys 3.
Yeah.
Don't make Bad Boys 3.
But they're so old. Don't you want to see that happen?
Not if Joe Carnahan's not making it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's the one I would have been interested in.
Yeah, I don't even know who's making it this time.
It doesn't matter.
No.
I've seen that picture of Will Smith as a genie, and I can never see him in another movie.
It looks real good.
Oh, boy. Guy Ritchie. Like, they handed Guy Ritchie the keys.
Yeah.
That dude always delivers.
He does. He'll probably the genie will box like Ali. So like Ben Gazzara is just like the whole movie he's just like, these people fucking with me, I'm Al Capone. It's like nonstop that. So it's entertaining, but like you just know you're watching crap.
Right.
I watched The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
Yeah.
And I really liked it, and it might make my top 10. I don't know yet.
I want to watch it one more time
before
I make my list, but I'm in the same boat.
If all the segments were as good as the Tom Waits and Zoe Kazan ones, then I would have, like, no hesitation.
Sure.
But the other four were just either okay or too good for me.
I really like the first one. It's very different, but it's funny. It's Tim Blake Nelson. Yeah, and it's like really funny and goofy.
Yeah.
The Franco one
it's not bad. It's just kind of
it's
ephemeral.
Slight.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
Yeah.
The last one I'm still a little bit. Oh, and the Liam Neeson one I think is really strong. I mean, it's hard to watch, but it's
did you know that guy is Dudley from Harry Potter?
No.
I found that out when I was looking at the Wikipedia.
Interesting. Yeah. Now that you say it, I'm like, I totally see it, but I didn't put that together.
So I mean, like, I'm usually not the biggest fan of Netflix movies, but that was so good where I'm just like, shit, now I gotta watch Netflix movies.
Well.
And I saw The Princess Switch. so that I saw Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Why?
I went with my family.
All right.
And I didn't like it. Like, did you like the first Wreck-It Ralph?
I thought it was okay.
Okay, like, I liked the first Wreck-It Ralph.
Okay.
But I was talking to Mike afterwards because he's kind of become my shoulder to cry on for these kids' movies.
Sure.
Because I have to go to them a lot more now. And Wreck-It Ralph 1 was like, don't judge a book by its cover. Mm-hmm. Wreck-It Ralph 2 is just like, isn't Ralph a toxic, obsessive asshole?
Oh, cool.
And there's also, like, so much product placement, internet stuff, that it's like the thing that they live would make fun of. And it's just,
it's
like,
it's just
really,
Disney, like, doing a commercial for Disney, right?
It's not even the Disney stuff. It's, like, that's almost the best stuff in the movie because you're just like, oh, they, like, know how to do these properties. But, the rest of the stuff is just, like, isn't eBay great?
Oh, boy.
Isn't, like... Yeah, like, it's just, like, such consumerism. And it's depressing because... I'm more aware of, like, the movies that are being shown to kids now.
Yeah.
And it's sad because I see that and I see The Grinch and it's just noise.
Yeah.
And they can't get anything out of it. Like that, like I was joking, but like that message of, isn't Ralph, like, bad to Vanellope because he won't let her be in the game that she wants to be in and he's, like, possessive of their friendship. I'm like, why do 6-year-olds need to know about this?
Right.
Like,
right.
Why can't it just be fun for them? So I was bummed. It was kind of, like, weirdly depressing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Put it on the poster.
Sure. I saw two things from your calendar.
Oh, okay.
I watched Holiday Affair.
Which I knew because you sent me that Lucky Bench text, which was hilarious.
Yes.
You watched it on Turner Classic Movies?
Yeah. Okay. I DVR'd it off of Turner.
Nice.
And, I liked it. It's, like, unusual to see Robert Mitchum, obviously, in a role like that.
You keep waiting for him to kill her, right?
Like, he's very strange in the movie. He does have, like, a weird vibe.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, what's the name of the other male actor?
No, I don't know.
Okay, so, like, he's the
Ralph Bellamy.
He's the Ralph Bellamy. So he's the guy who's gonna lose the girl. So, like, every time, like, Mitchum is in the room, it's just like, this is going to happen. You can either sit here and watch this happen, or you can leave, but you have no control over this situation.
That is true.
So, like, there's I forgot. So R. Kelly. Ugh. But, like, he used to do songs where at the beginning he was always like, Mr. Steal Your Girl. And I was just like, the whole movie, I'm like, Mitchum, steal your girl.
Yeah, he is.
It's totally that. And then, like, Vivian Lee is, Janet Lee. Yeah. Sorry. Janet Lee is, like, I really only know her from Psycho. So, I mean, it was neat to see her in this movie. And it was interesting, like, learning the politics of The Secret Shoppers, 1949, like how severe it was.
Right.
Yeah, it was
a real game of espionage.
Exactly. I thought the little boy was, like, really cute. He was, like, a really charming child actor. So I had a good time with that.
I watched it, like, a week or two before we watched Miracle on 34th Street for the first time. I'd never seen it. And there's so many similarities between, like, the department store and the single mom. And, like, there's a lot of crossover there.
Did you watch the trailer for Miracle on
34th Street? No.
Okay, yeah. I was telling Patrick after the show with Mike that he has to watch the trailer because the whole thing is about how they don't know how to sell the movie. And it's like these executives talking to, like, the stars of 20th Century Fox on the lot. And they're just like, what did you think of this movie? And they're just like, it's delightful. And then he's just like, okay, I'll put that in the poster or something. And then he has somebody else and he's just like, it's charming. And he's just like, delightful, charming. And he's like, now I know how to sell this. It's so weird.
Santa on trial.
Yeah, it's like, we can't sell
this movie.
We don't
know what to say.
We can't sell this movie, so, like, listen to our galaxy of stars. And then I watched Return to Me.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so Return to Me, there's certain parts of it where it's, like, right up my alley.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. And I knew, like, I just needed to get kind of past, like, the first act, like, the setup of it. But, like, it kind of... It took a little while for me to get into it just because of that.
Okay.
But I thought the ensemble was just so good. Yeah. And I really loved the scene in particular where David Duchovny is on that, like, really bad double date. And then
Greens, that one?
Yeah. And then, like, he and Minnie Driver are kind of having, like, this secret, like... dialogue while the other people are kind of like off in their own little world right. and stuff. And it's just like really cute.
Yeah.
I like that. It was weird too. Like it was like another Mitchum thing, like the whole time where I was like, Minnie Driver doesn't know. This guy wants to kill a fornicate all the time. Like it's just like
he has a sex addiction.
Yeah, like just seeing him as like this sweet mm-hmm. man, I'm just like, ooh, this could stop at any moment. But I liked it. I had a good time with it. Thank you for the recommendation.
Well, sure. Listen, Eric is a huge fan because of, I mean, it's just like a good romance, but then she loves all the Chicago stuff. She loves all this stuff with like the Italian guys because it reminds her so much of like her grandparents, you know?
Yeah.
Like all the Robert Loggia stuff and like.
Yeah, it was cute with like the half Italian, half Irish restaurants and all this stuff. I liked it.
And even Belushi is good.
Supporting Belushi is something to look forward to.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. He's well cast
in
that movie.
Yeah.
And gets to be funny because Bonnie Hunt knows how to use him.
Definitely. So my next two that I've got up on your list of those is I bought Secret Admirer on a double disc with Class.
I've seen Class once. I don't remember it that well.
Yeah. It's in my mailbox.
I
have to go pick it up.
All right.
And then I had The Apartment, but I haven't
hit it. Ooh, very nice. Secret Admirer, again, if you can get past the idea that both women are in love with C. Thomas Howell, who I think breathes through his mouth the entire movie, it's fine.
I'm okay with it because it's like wish fulfillment.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And
the supporting cast is killer.
Who else is in it besides those two?
I mean, there's a whole subplot with adults that includes, like, Cliff DeYoung and Dee Wallace and Fred Ward. Corey Haim is the little brother.
Whoa.
Casey Jamasco is, like, his best friend. Lori Loughlin, I told you.
Yeah.
And I forget the guy that plays, like, Kelly Preston's sort of Cro-Magnon boyfriend, but you'll recognize him immediately because he literally looks like a Geico caveman.
Nice.
He has a very pronounced brow.
The day I found out that Jeff Daniel Phillips was the Geico caveman was an amazing day.
Yeah. Probably good that the sitcom didn't go.
Yeah. It might have pigeonholed him
a
little bit. And then two other quick ones. I saw Muppet Christmas Carol for the first time in like a really long time.
Okay.
Have you ever seen that one?
I saw it when it was out, and I don't think I've seen it since.
Okay. I really liked it this time. Like, I didn't like it before, but this time I've been like really kind of in the bag for movies with just like really lush like costumes and sets.
Mm-hmm.
So that fills that need for me. And then Michael Caine, I thought, was just like, it was great that he played it straight and that he let the Muppets sort of be
the craziness
around him. So I enjoyed it. And then last night I went to a Home Alone Die Hard double feature at the Music Box.
Nice.
I was like in a real Mac mood this week because he keeps showing up in all these like YouTube shows that I watch.
Interesting.
He's on this one show. Like I watch this Angry Video Game Nerd channel and they do movie reviews and they do like video game stuff, but they had like two videos. One was Macaulay Culkin playing the Home Alone licensed video games. And then like he was playing the Pagemaster game for Super NES. And it was like really, it was interesting because like you could kind of see like Macaulay Culkin in his natural state.
Right.
And he's an odd guy, but he seems very well adjusted.
Good.
And I was talking to Rob about it. I was like, he's like the closest thing celebrity wise to Harry Potter, where it's like he went through the ringer.
Right.
And now his rest of his life is just this victory lap. And I kind of like that people like his stuff because they like really love it and they have a lot of like affection for it, and it's not like an ironic thing.
Right.
So I feel good for him in that regard. And then the print that they showed was so beat up. It was like,
bummer.
Actually, it was kind of neat because it was just like you could feel the 1990 on it. And like there were certain like moments like where stuff was like spliced out, like they lost frames.
Good Lord.
So like when the furnace was just like, hello, Kevin, it's just like, hello. And then it would cut. Or like part of the conversation with him and like the cashier at the grocery store is just like gone. So it was kind of interesting.
Is that better than watching like a really good DCP?
It was unique.
Okay.
So I enjoyed it more.
I guess if you've seen it enough times, it's fine, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then did you stay for Die Hard?
I stayed for about half of it. I was kind of falling asleep.
Yeah. Was it sold out?
It was I mean, it was really full. I don't think it was sold out, but they probably were at like 90% full.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was a little oppressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy for the Music Box, but not a fun
viewing
experience necessarily.
No, it filled up pretty quick.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That is it.
Okay. I feel bad. I just realized that our recording is getting in the way of your Aquaman opening night.
No, it wasn't going to happen.
I didn't think so. No.
There's so many movies out now that I just like, eh. Like, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, like, the big holiday movies are Aquaman and Bumblebee, and it's like, take it or leave it.
It's like, I could drive to the theater, but I know I would have, like, do I really want to get out of the car?
Will Steinfeld get you in the theater for Bumblebee?
No.
Really?
No. Because it's like they still...
She was starving until she tasted the sweet Autobot action.
The thing is, she's like 17 in that movie or something, and I'm just like, that's
weird. Oh, in
like,
got yeah. it. Okay.
Like, I think she's real cute, but like, she's cute like if it's in Pitch Perfect where she's playing somebody who's like 21 years
got
old.
Got it. Like, which one of those is she in?
I think she's in 2 and 3. Okay. I haven't seen all of them.
Yeah, I saw the first one. And
but yeah.
That was like, good.
Yeah. 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 And also, like, I don't. Bumblebee's the type of thing where it's just like, oh, it's got like a 97%. I'm like, I don't care. It could have like 197%. I'm good. Like, you burned your bridges.
Yeah. I mean, cool that they made an okay Transformers movie. Yeah. But, like,
what are we doing?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, do I need to see it just because they finally made an okay Transformers movie?
Right.
Probably not. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a ton since I last recorded one of these. Turner Classic Movies about a week ago did a marathon of Elvis movies.
Oh, okay.
And I DVR'd a bunch of them, and I've sort of slowly been poking away at them, and they're almost all bad, but there's some that are bad in a way that I enjoy that are kind of like the beach party movies.
Yeah.
And then there's some that are bad in a way that I'm just like, I can't get on board with this. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to watch which Elvis is going to show up, because sometimes Elvis feels kind of dialed in. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he's so openly contemptuous of what he's doing. So in the good column, for me, we have Girl Crazy, which is just a beach party movie with Elvis. Kissin' Cousins is almost good because it's so phenomenally stupid. This is where Elvis plays a dual role. And he's like the cool city guy with black hair and then the blonde-haired like hillbilly cousin.
Okay.
And half the movie is like Beverly Hillbillies jokes. It's just like, Ma, get that boy out of the crick. And it's like embarrassing. But Yvonne Craig plays his love interest from TV's Batman. So I enjoyed it. There's a big dance number at the end that I enjoyed. Blue Hawaii is okay. Elvis seems to be having fun. The only one that I watched that I would call good is King Creole.
Okay.
Because Michael Curtiz directed it and like Walter Matthau plays the heavy, and it's actually sort of trying to use Elvis's image as like sort of a troubled youth, like sort of in the Jailhouse Rock vein. And then like the trouble with girls and it happened at the World's Fair. These are not doing it for me. The movie I guess that I'll really talk about is a little movie that I finally caught up with. One of the year's highest grossing films. Directed by the genius Ruben Fleischer.
No.
Little movie called Venom. And it's, I think, for me, one of the worst movies of the year.
Yeah.
I sort of get the reaction that people saw it and they're like, well, it was bad, but I was entertained.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I can't say that I was entertained.
Yeah.
But I get why people were. Mm-hmm. It just, everything about it to me is like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, why was Ruben Fleischer? Why does he keep getting to fail upwards? Why did this cast sign on to this movie? Why did Riz Ahmed agree to take a role that required that of him? Or Michelle Williams, for that matter. Tom Hardy at least is occupying himself. You know? The special effects were terrible. The attempts to turn Venom into a hero were laughable. It did give birth to maybe my favorite line in a movie this year, which comes very late in the film when Michelle Williams says, totally straight faced, "I'm sorry about Venom." but boy, oh boy, is it like everything that is bad about modern studio filmmaking.
Yeah, it's
everything that is bad.
I think the taste of it would have stuck with me more bitterly if I didn't see A Star Is Born like 10 minutes after I saw Venom.
Yeah.
Venom. Venom.
I mean, when the it cuts to black and that embarrassing Eminem song starts, we're just like, Venom, Venom.
He's just like, knock, knock, let the devil in.
And then we get the really embarrassing post-credits tag. And it's just...
What a wig.
I don't know, man. I was like, it seemed like, okay, they made this movie 10 years too late. And this is going to backfire, right? Because there's no way America wants to go see a Venom. What? Oh, shit. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm completely wrong. Mm-hmm. This movie made all the money.
Yeah.
And is out on Blu-ray less than 2 months later.
Yeah, it did even better internationally.
Yeah, it's in that's the what 10 matters. Highest grossing movies of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means we're getting another Venom movie.
Yeah.
Who wants that?
No, it... One of the things that I find more objectionable than, like, a movie being as bad as Venom is that all of these tentpole movies are the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like, when I watched the trailer today for Men in Black International, and I'm like, this is the exact... same
right.
movie as every other tentpole movie.
And the Hellboy trailer that I watched.
Yeah, like, it's like in one ear, out the other.
It really is.
I was having dinner with my folks the other day, and like they really like to go. They're retired, so they go to the movies all the time now, and they want to see just everything. So my dad's just like, really? You don't want to see Aquaman? And I was just like, I want to see a movie with adults being adults. And then he just started laughing, and I'm like, you're laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like when... Like, and I hate to be like tut tut old man, but it's just like even in the early 2000s, there was like movies for grownups, mm-hmm. and now there's no movies for grownups.
There was a balance. I mean, you could still go see Venom, but you could also see Castaway or something, you know. And now we get a month of those in December.
Yeah.
And you see them one after another, and they all start to run together because it's one flavor all month long.
They feel insincere in a way. It's like that. They just are made primarily because they know that they're going to make their money off of awards nominations. So that's what the pitch is. That's what they're striving for.
And they can't stick with you. Like, if you were to go see, I'm trying to think of an example, even If Beale Street Could Talk, which is a very good movie.
Yeah.
If you were to go see that in March, where it's this little oasis, and you're like, my God, where did that movie come from?
Yeah.
And you would fall in love with it. But now it's like, shit, I got to go on to the next five prestige movies, and I'm barely going to remember If Beale Street Could Talk.
Yeah.
It's very upsetting.
Movies are in a great place.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why I am watching movies that play at the New Beverly from my living room.
For real. I mean, we've been watching so many, like, old movies and doing
even
great.
When they're not great. They're Capone and they're weird and idiosyncratic and, like, there's stuff to latch on to.
Right. Or there's, like, dialogue that's at least engaging.
Yeah.
You know, I watched Broken Arrow for the first time last week.
Jimmy Stewart?
Yeah, the Jimmy Stewart one, the Delmer Daves movie. Mm-hmm. And it's got lots of problems, you know, but it's so much more interesting than something like, I don't know, Venom.
Yeah. Like, even, like, I liked Return to Me, but, like, even just, like, watching that, I'm just like, this came out in 2000.
Yeah.
Like, why can't they have one of these more often and not just once in April and that's it?
Well, and again, I bring up Blank Check a lot, but I remember them talking, I think during the Nancy Meyers series when they got around to like The Intern, that those, even that movie doesn't exist anymore. You have Nancy Meyers who makes, I think, 400 million plus grossing movies in a row, has a problem getting The Intern greenlit, and the budget is cut in half. Because like The Proposal came out and was like one of the highest grossing romantic comedies of all time, made like over $300 million worldwide. And that still isn't worth a studio's time because it's never going to make $1 billion. And now if a movie can't maybe make $1 billion, there's just no interest.
Yeah.
That has to be like, it has to at least have the potential to break $1 billion. Otherwise, no thanks. You're going straight to Netflix. And you know, the shift to Netflix has been very interesting because we've seen a pretty dramatic shift at the end of this year where like we had Buster Scruggs, we have Roma, we have the, Sandra Bullock is making a Netflix Bird Box, right? Scorsese's The Irishman coming out next year.
Yeah.
Real talent is going to Netflix now. And it's cool. It's a bummer that like, that's how we're seeing some of these movies instead of at a theater.
Yeah.
but at least it's not what it was early on. Because I agree, when it was like, this is going straight to Netflix, it was like, oh, there's a reason.
Yeah.
The Cloverfield Paradox is the great example where it's like, oh, wow, what a cool surprise. And, oh, that's why this went to Netflix, because this movie sucks.
Mm-hmm. You know who also has a problem with the current state of modern blockbusters?
Who's that?
Snoopy.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. So we're going to ring in some holiday cheer and take a break for about, I think this takes like 30 minutes. So okay. We're going to take a break for 30 minutes
take it
while
away,
Snoopy.
Snoopy.
All right.
The quiet thumping that you hear is Snoopy thrashing around on the table. Yay, holiday episode.
Yay.
Let's get into the holiday episode.
Let's do this.
Because, you know, we were just talking about Netflix.
Yes.
What a great segue to this year's holiday episode, which Adam very cleverly dubbed
Netflix This Christmas.
Netflix This Christmas, because we're going to be talking about two Netflix original holiday movies.
Mm-hmm.
The Princess Switch.
Starring two Vanessa Hudgens.
Bad Boys 3's Vanessa Hudgens.
Mm-hmm.
And The Christmas Chronicles, starring the great Kurt Russell.
Yes. Where do we begin? I feel like we should end on the high note.
Then we should start with Princess Switch?
Yeah.
Okay, phew.
Yeah. So The Princess Switch is like watching a movie filmed inside a Yankee Candle.
It makes TV movies look professional, like,
yeah,
now, which isn't to say that TV movies aren't professional. Lacey Chabert, I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
But it's bad for a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, it's definitely a lesser Hallmark movie than like the ones that I've watched.
Incompetently made.
It makes 12 Dates of Christmas look like there's something about Mary.
Hold on, I gotta come back to something. Okay. I was never bored during 12 Dates of Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, and part of it was I was enjoying those actors.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed watching that movie. I recognize that, like, it's probably not great. It's very much a Hallmark movie, but I was enjoying it.
Yes.
Good God, The Princess Switch tested me. But real quick, I just remembered something that I rewatched today. Not a movie, but when we were, again, shooting around ideas for the holiday show, you sent me a YouTube link and said, well, we should probably bring this up. And it's a trailer.
I don't even remember this.
For a movie called Love and Dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Love and Dancing.
I forgot all about that. It was Amy Smart, and who else was in it?
I don't know who the guy is.
Yeah.
Billy Zane plays Ralph Bellamy. Good God. I mean, you could tell, like, it's probably not a great movie, but it's a way worse trailer.
Yeah.
Like, cut together by, I don't even know. It does no one any favors.
It's probably the trailer company that did the Blood Rain trailer. Do you remember the Blood Rain trailer?
Not really. I mean, I've seen Blood Rain, but
it was like this weird, like, pastiche of, like, images with no kind of throughput. And then all of a sudden, just huge, like, huge letters. It's just like, Matt Davis. And that's one of my favorite.
He's a thing.
Things ever. They're just like, forget all the Ben Kingsley. Forget Michelle Rodriguez. Matt Davis is the headline.
I encourage everyone to watch the trailer for Love and Dancing. Because, first of all, that title is bananas.
Yeah.
Second of all, there's a whole thing about the lead man being deaf and dancing without his hearing aids. Amy Smart is very likable, but I don't think is a dancer, so why was she cast?
I don't know.
There's a scene where she's sort of dancing on a sidewalk as she's walking, and I was like, I have to see the movie just to see how this plays out. And just to see Billy Zane as the wrong man.
Do you think he's just like, how dare you dance with my fiancé? I met him, and he's so nice.
Really?
He was really, really pleasant.
She was like, I love dancing. It makes me feel good. He would say, makes you feel good. Do it.
I like it.
Dancing Princess Switch is a fucking
nightmare. I agree with you. Like, I was real bored. I had, like, so much trouble not multitasking all over the place while I was watching this movie.
Is it a romantic comedy?
Yes.
What are the funny parts?
None.
This was a question that I kept asking as the movie was unfolding. There's one thing where, like, a guy falls. He's trying to take pictures, and he falls down, and he hurts himself.
Yeah.
I think that is supposed to be funny.
He's the guy who's supposed to get his comeuppance, but then they just get rid of that, and they're just like, no, he's game.
Yeah, no, everybody's fine. This is a movie with no stakes.
Yeah.
And then there's another scene where it, like, almost becomes a farce for a minute, where they're all in the toy store.
Yeah.
And there's maybe supposed to be some physical comedy, but I watched the whole movie like, if this is a romantic comedy, where are the jokes? What's supposed to be funny? I recognize none of it is funny, but where are the attempts to be funny?
It's funny you should say that, because when Vanessa Hudgens is, she's the baker. She plays two roles. She's a baker from Chicago.
Yeah, I hear that. With her own successful bakery. And we know we like her because she's nice to old people.
Yes.
And she saves cookies for a child.
Mm-hmm. Spring Breaker turns into Winter Baker.
She is good in Spring Breakers.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't know. I don't get it.
I think she's very cute and charming.
She's not English, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
For this movie.
She does
because... Oh boy, that accent.
It's rough. Yeah. What is this?
A soda Erica's pop? Coming down with a soda pop.
Yeah.
It's a Diet Pepsi.
Yeah.
It came with our dinner that we got from DoorDash, but Adam is welcome to it.
No.
Yeah.
I've already got
food taxi. Food cab.
So I got a triple play of beverages?
Yeah, you do. Line them up. It's the holiday show, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're cameoing on the 2018 holiday show.
Say hi to everyone. Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah.
Is this playing music?
It did. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
So cute.
He's Silly and Wild Snoopy. That's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Silly and Wild. Are you keeping it, or do I get to keep it?
Well, now I feel.
Are you going to accidentally leave it here?
Look, let's just see how the rest of the show goes.
Okay, so
we don't have to make decisions.
I don't.
What
thank
kind
you.
Of pop is
it's
it?
It's a Diet Pepsi.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
what
Diet Pepsi.
Are you mad at me?
Pretty gross.
Gosh, what? All right. I'm taking it back.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
All right.
Bye. Merry Christmas.
Woo! Yay! Vanessa Hudgens' British accent is so weird, but she says one thing at the end where it's like, it's such an odd delivery that I found it like very appealing.
What's that?
She says hot chocolate, but she goes hot chocolate. And she sounds like Tim Curry saying
she,
it.
I genuinely believe the chance to do the accent is what made her sign on to do this movie.
Probably.
Because it's like, well, I'm an actor. I can do accents. The male lead is also not English. Are there no English actors?
Are you talking about the prince or the friend?
The prince.
He's not British?
No, he's on that show Nashville.
Oh.
He's like a country star.
Well, I feel lied.
You know who else is a country star?
Maybe I didn't love you. What is often is a curse.
If you stick your ear up to your phone, you can smell it.
Maybe I didn't love you.
Willie Nelson's vagina is pretty great.
Are there no English actors? Also, what's the difference between a duchess and a princess?
I thought that a duchess was the name of the title of a woman who was not royal who married a royal. Is that it?
I don't know how it works. But I guess I didn't understand why this wasn't called the Duchess Switch. Because she's a duchess, not a princess.
I think because the word princess is like title money in the bank.
100%.
Yeah.
But then make her a princess. Why? Yeah. Why did they?
Well, she'll
that's an easy thing
be a
to
princess.
She will
she's gonna marry a prince.
He's a prince. He's not
so
a
I guess
duke.
She's no. Well, he's a prince.
He's a prince.
And then they said like one of the children in the orphanage or not orphanage.
Oh.
The,
I yeah, guess orphanage. Christmas. No. What did she say? Oh shit! What did she say? The little girl at the end who like.
She just like said,
won a contest.
Yeah,
I don't what she had one line, and it was like, oh, there was no other kid on set that day that could deliver. Listen, I don't want to pick on the performances of children, but fuck this movie.
It's the Princess Switch. He's not listening. So, yeah, I thought it was weird when you were saying like, you know, where are the jokes? Like, there's a scene where my voice broke. There's a scene where the baker Vanessa Hudgens goes back, and she's like. She's pretending to be the royal Vanessa Hudgens.
Sure.
And then she falls.
Parent trap situation.
Yeah, it's like three identical strangers.
Yes.
Meets the Parent Trap. Yes. Meets the Princess Diaries. Yeah. Meets the Prince and the Pauper.
Prince and the Pauper, definitely.
Yeah. So meets Roman Holiday.
Yes.
It meets a lot of movies.
Meets the house that Jack built, because it goes to some fucked up places.
Have
you guys
watched this?
No, not yet.
I don't think I will.
I probably won't either.
Yeah.
Life is pretty short.
Yeah. Although I did feel tempted while I was watching The Princess Switch. So I'm just like, eh, I've had enough vanilla. I could go for some chocolate. So she says, like, she's describing Prince Edward, and she's just like, oh, he's charming, and he's so funny. I'm like, when has he ever done anything funny?
This was a conversation that I was having with Erica as we were
watching.
Did
she watch it, too?
Yeah, she definitely might have gone to sleep at the end. Okay. Not fell asleep, but, yeah. Like, I got to tap out.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to sell her out. I'm just saying this movie sucks. I was asking her, like, there just have to be some people in the world who just want to see the boy and the girl end up together.
Yeah.
This explains the viewership for season after season of The Bachelor, mm-hmm. because those aren't people.
No.
They don't have anything in common. We're not actually watching a romance happen. We just want to see a boy and a girl end up together, because there's nothing about them as a couple at any point. Like, Return to Me, think about how charming they are, mm-hmm. and how they seem to, and again, it's all written, I recognize that, but like, they seem to have a connection that no one else in the movie has, mm-hmm. and so we want to see them end up together. We like the both of them. They seem to make each other happy. This movie, what do we know about either of them except that, like, she's a girl and he's a boy? Why would anyone watching this movie want to see them end up together?
I can't answer that.
Because there isn't an answer. I mean,
it makes so much more sense for it to be the baker and her friend, because that's where the history's been.
Which, by the way, we have to get to how fucked up that is.
Yeah. All right. It's like, say it's like you have a crush on a girl that mm-hmm. you've been friends with for a long
time. Like best friends. You work with her every day.
Yeah. And you like her, but like something's never really happened uh-huh. with it. And then you're just like, you know what? Great. If I could just have her face and her body, but a completely different personality.
Not even.
And that new one really likes me.
Not even.
Okay.
One weekend, she shows interest in you. And you're like, oh my God, after 15 years, I think this is finally happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of like day three, she says, oh, I'm actually someone else. I have been someone else for the last 3 days when I've been showing interest in you. We still cool? And you're like, well, I was in love with 15 years worth of history.
Yeah.
I haven't really known you for all of 3 days, but you look like my best friend. So, yeah, we cool. Let's get married.
Mm-hmm.
It's so messed up. Like, yeah. What happens to that guy? At least everyone else in the movie, they're strangers.
Yeah, they don't really know each other.
Right.
Yeah.
So, no harm, no foul.
Yeah.
This guy has fallen in love with his best friend. And then finds out that, like, actually, no, I'm just the weird carbon copy Natalie Portman at the end of Annihilation. You know, like,
I would love to see the Princess Switch with, right. with the, what was the name of the Shimmers?
Natalie Portman. Right. It's
Shimmer Portman.
Shimmer Hudgens. And he's like, meh, all right.
Speaking of which, how is there not a woman named Shimmer Portman with a show on Freeform?
Shimmer Portman.
They're like Alley in the City starring Shimmer Portman. And she's just like,
hey guys, it's me,
train.
Shimmer Portman. Make sure you watch the new Alley in the City.
Be sure to like and subscribe. Ring that bell for new ones. So
Shimmer Portman, the Princess Switch. Yeah. Friday on Disney.
All that glitters glows with with Shimmer Portman.
I don't
Co-starring hologram Tom Ewell.
I don't ever want you to watch The Princess Switch again.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
But there's part of me.
Where's that Diet Pepsi?
That wants to ask you to watch it again. Or at least those of you listening who are like, we are not watching this. They have talked us out of watching this. Please watch it. Fast forward only to the scenes with the friend who ends up with Shimmer Portman. Because were you paying attention to him at all?
He's demented.
He makes so many faces in this movie.
Yes.
It is bananas.
He is. If you see him walking out the street, hold your purse tight because he's a mugger.
His face is going crazy.
Yeah.
There's a scene at the end. I mean, there's a whole baking
he's
competition.
Out of a 50s movie.
Like, to talk about even the architecture of this movie makes my fucking head explode.
You mean the one street country?
Or the fact that, like, what's the setup? How do we get her to the fictional town of Belgravia? Yeah. Her friend enters her in a famous baking contest, judged by the prince.
That happens at, like, 1 minute.
And it's like year 50. In. It's like the 50th year that they've been doing. It's so early on.
Yeah. There's no setup at all. It's just like, hi.
No. I entered you in this contest. What? No, I can't go to that. Cut to plane taking off and just a looped voiceover. I guess I'm going to Belgravia. That's the setup for this fucking movie. I guess I'm going to Belgravia.
So everything in this movie
also,
is like so...
Belgravia.
Yeah.
Just keep saying it.
We couldn't do Genovia, so no. We had to do Belgravia. Everything in this movie is super G-rated.
Yeah.
But then there's like that weird line at the beginning where it's like the girl who went to the same culinary school as Shimmer Portman.
Yeah.
And she goes like, oh, you were on the top of the class basically because you blew the professor or something.
Yeah.
I'm just like, where'd that come from? And then it just gets dropped. And I kind of wanted to see like the PG-13 version of this
where
more
she's
than
like,
the G-rated
he was
version.
Constantly glazing your face. Mm-hmm. Wow. Jesus, this got dirty.
Yeah. He pureed your face.
The architecture of the movie is just so naked and just even like, hey, we look alike. Mind switching places? I want to get out of the spotlight. I mean, there's no attempt. No one ever really struggles to be who they're not.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, Shimmer Portman never really struggles with doing the American accent.
No.
Regular Hudgens, like, immediately is comfortable being a duchess. And they fool everyone. And then when they come clean, no one minds. No one cares. So
none
this,
of the parents.
No,
like,
no
stuff.
One.
Like,
even the guy who's like,
these
wait,
are all lies.
I fell like, in love with someone who I thought I'd been best friends with for 15 years. You're telling me that you actually just look like her. Mm-hmm. How weird is that? How weird is that if you're Hudgens and you're like, oh, he's dating a carbon copy of me that he's in love with.
Yeah, I feel
because
like it's
she
in their
looks
best,
like me.
Like, it's in their best interest to never talk again.
And Shimmer Portman is fine with it. Like, he's clearly just in love with who I'm not, but I look like that girl, so...
Yeah. Yeah. And the friend, his name's... I wrote it down. His name's...
No, thank you.
Kevin.
Okay.
So, he does all this shit that drives me nuts. Like, there's this
he
one
makes
scene...
so many faces.
Do you remember the Netflix and chill scene?
I sure do.
Okay, so they have the
It was
Netflix
the first time I saw, like, Netflix in a Netflix movie. Yeah. And then I saw it again in Christmas Chronicles.
We'll get to that, because that's even more annoying. But, like, the... So, Shimmer Portman and Kevin are on the couch, and then he's just like... And I can't do it justice because you can't see me, but, like, he's just like... Like, he's making all these, like, big, bulging eyes.
Crazy faces.
Yeah, and he's like, I feel bad saying this, but he looks like Soul Man C. Thomas Howell a little
he does,
bit, like, with his haircut and stuff, because he's got the curly, like, kind of Tom Hanks in the 80s thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, he is just like, I'm going to go pop some corn. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you should run if somebody says pop some corn.
I also was annoyed by that line, so thank you for bringing it up.
I was so mad. Yeah. So then they, like, are Netflix and chilling, but, like, every movie is, like, the princess king or whatever like that, or, like, the Christmas king. It's, like, last year's hit Netflix movie.
Right.
Or, like, the El Camino Christmas and stuff like that. I wanted it just to be, like, she has it up, and it's just, like, all, like, blue is the warmest color.
Yes.
Or, like, Basic Instinct. It's just, like, wow, Kevin's a freak.
Just recently viewed, and it's all just
and then like
the softest core porn he could find on Netflix.
He's watching like Basic Instinct or Body of Evidence, and then a pop up goes, "Want to see this scene again?" It just
she hits resume for every movie, and it's all in a spot of a sex scene. Like every time, it's right at the end of a sex scene. Like, good God, he just finishes this and stops the movie. Oh man,
damn you, Shimmer!
So there's a scene at the end where there's this stupid baking competition, and then the Duke, the Prince, and Hudgens have to, like, you know, make it happen in front of an audience, and everybody's standing and watching. And he says at one point, like, "Don't you love me?" And she says, like, "I love you more than I've ever loved anyone." I'm like, you fucking known each other for 3 days.
Yeah.
What, they bought toys together and made cookies, and I guess that's when it all happened, that they fell in love.
She saw him with his shirt off.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
No. Shimmer Portman saw Kevin with his shirt off.
Oh.
And was like, "Have you ever seen him with his shirt off?" And Hudgens like, "What? No, ew." Mm-hmm. But Shimmer Portman is into it.
Yeah.
But during that whole scene, just watch that scene again and just watch Kevin's face. Because first of all, he has his arm around Shimmer Portman because, again, we're cool with having been lied to. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, like, yeah, sorry, that's a visual, everyone. But like,
yeah.
Just fast forward to his scenes, because what he is doing is bananas.
Like, he's got perpetual, like, really? Face. Like, really?
The whole thing is like watching a high school play.
Yeah.
There's a point where they're in the toy store and they're trying to create a distraction. And so Hudgens is like, "Oh, I lost my earring." And the prince is helping her look for it, right? And there's a wide shot. Again, the way that this movie is put together is bananas. Mm-hmm. There's a wide shot and he's literally just standing in one spot, like, sort of looking around the way a high schooler would if you didn't give them direction in a play and they're just coming up with their own business.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. It's the whole thing feels like a high school play.
Yeah. This is the type of movie where, like you said, 12 Dates of Christmas, it's like, it is what it is, but it's very weird and fun to talk about.
Yes.
The Princess Switch is like, as I was watching it, I felt sad, like, knowing that you were going to have to watch it. And then I also felt sad that we were going to talk about it on the show. Like, we're cheapening the podcast.
No, we're not.
No, it's like we're all of a sudden, like, we're like some ironic show because we're talking about the Princess Switch. Like, I felt bad.
I would have that concern, especially coming right off of a Leprechaun 2 show, or Leprechaun Returns. But I tried to be pretty positive about Leprechaun Returns.
Yeah,
like, I wasn't just making fun of it.
Yeah.
And we didn't know. I mean, we're not just picking bad movies on purpose.
No. You know what I mean. It's just feels like when I look at the pantheon of movies that we've done shows on, they're real movies. Like, but this
absolutely,
is like,
yeah.
Such, like, just, it's like doing a show on, like, Ernest Rides Again. It's just like, really? You don't need to. Anyways.
12 Dates of Christmas, again, at least I was invested in the two of them getting together. Like, he seems like maybe a Dateline murderer. And her big thing is, like, she has to spend a day baking or something, right? What was her whole, she has to be in control too much. What was her whole, her character flaw?
Yeah, she's just like an A person.
Yeah. So, like, but again, at least they're given character traits.
Yeah.
And then they have to try to like each other and fall in love. No one in this movie has a character trait except Baker's friend, Prince, Shimmer Portman.
I kept waiting when they said that. So Kevin, the friend, is a father of a daughter who looks exactly like Annie.
Oh, okay.
Like, totally Annie.
Kind of, yeah. Not as good of an actor.
No. But it's okay. And they said, like, what happened to her mother?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, basically, it just didn't work out. And I was so mad that he didn't say she was cleaning the gutters and fell off of a ladder. Like in 12 Dates of Christmas.
Yes.
I'm just like, I want this to be a thing that in like all these movies.
That was very weird.
Yeah.
That was a very weird. I'm going to watch it. That's still on Netflix. I want to watch it again.
The weirdest thing was that Mark Paul Gosselaar also like dug a hole and she just fell into it.
I'm telling you.
And he's just like, one in a million
shot. Total
shot.
Dateline situation.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. So we also watched. Do you have anything more to say about the Princess?
No, Switch? That's probably it.
Okay.
There's another, even more popular Netflix Christmas movie. Should we break out the Hanukkah cookies or what?
We can.
All right.
Okay. So we've got. So this comes from rightlight.com. Mm. They also make menorahs.
Famous for their food stuff.
Hanukkah bears. Hanukkah chocolate Maccabees. Hanukkah candles.
None of these things are food.
They're the spot to do the Jew. Sorry. And I can say that because I'm Jewish. So Stop writing your letters.
So yeah, in addition to
these are like animal crackers.
The Princess Switch, Menorah? Which is marginally a Christmas movie, although they do get married on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And the wedding is real weird because as soon as they're done getting married, I guess he's the king. He turns around and just says Merry Christmas, and everyone says Merry Christmas and toasts, and it's like, you're at a wedding. This is weird.
Yeah.
It's a bad movie in almost every way.
Mm-hmm. Stupid Kevin. I don't like that guy. He's like 2018 Tom Yule. Not a fan. That guy's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways, so Christmas Chronicles. The first 20 minutes pre-Russell.
Yeah.
Really wasn't into it.
No.
Like, I was having a lot of trouble.
I wasn't into almost any moment that was not Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell in this movie, though.
Yeah.
He's an honorable mention in one of my great performances of 2018.
Rightfully so. Dude brings it.
He is a delight.
Yes.
In this movie.
Yes.
And not that I didn't know this already, but this is a movie where, like, because there's no, like, real plot things I need to pay attention to or character moments, it's just like...
Or plot at all.
Yeah. There's just, like, you just are living in the moment of watching it. I really like just his matter of... His speech.
Yep.
Like, just his turns of phrase, the way he speaks, his cadence and stuff like that.
Yep.
It's, like, really just almost like a lost art. He's just fun to listen to.
Yep.
And he just makes it look so easy.
Well, and he plays Santa in a way that isn't a way that I've really seen Santa played before.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't go for really any of the obvious Santa-isms.
Yep.
He looks amazing. Like, his hair is incredible. The beard... I don't think it's his own beard. I mean, I know he can grow impressive facial hair, but that is some beard. But it looks great. I mean, he really looks terrific. And it was nice to watch a movie. I mean, I think this movie had a lot of bad CGI,
lot
of it.
Yeah.
But at least it kind of felt like a movie. And
it felt like something that could be in theaters.
Right. At least it wasn't The Princess Switch, you know, which is like, woof, at least this was kind of a movie.
Yeah.
It does have a weird propensity to just like be something else every 10 minutes. It never really picks a lane, and it's just like,
I also noticed that every movie I watch now that's Christmas related, it's like it's not pure unless it's Chicago. Like, it always has to take place in Chicago at some point. Like, and it's just like, I get it, but like, I feel like also, you know, like, hey, Gary needs some love too.
Yeah,
like, or like, let's go to Milwaukee. So anyway, but no, I mean, like, it's really, that's the whole story, really. It's like, Kurt Russell is just so good in it. There's, like, I was joking about it earlier, but there's this weird distracting thing where they have, like, this big set piece where, like, the sleigh goes haywire or something like that, or, like, Santa sings a song in jail. And then this thing on Netflix will pop up that says, like, wasn't that great? Let's watch that again. Did you not see that?
No.
Like, a box comes up that says, like, watch that again.
How did you watch this?
On Netflix.
Like, but...
On Roku.
So did I. Oh. Mine just played like a movie.
I watched it like two nights ago, so maybe... Two or three nights ago, so
I
maybe...
I watched it
like,
about an hour before you got here.
Hold on. I'm just so you don't think that
But my
I'm
kids
nuts.
Have watched it like four times, and they have never...
Just so you don't
mentioned
think that
this.
I'm nuts,
I don't.
I'm showing you a picture because I took a picture.
I completely believe you, but I did not get any of this nonsense.
Here, look.
That is so weird. Why would they do that? You're trying
know.
To watch a fucking movie.
Yeah, it's like, watch that song again.
No.
Yeah.
That was not a high point of the movie. As much as I like Kurt Russell singing.
It's like when Kevin's watching Basic Instinct and it says, pause this scene.
Watch this scene again. Yeah. Oh, God damn it, Kevin.
She's just like, I don't really like to Netflix and chill. I like to shudder and snog.
Kurt Russell does a lot of his Santa lines, like, in that same cadence that he does, like, all the stuff in Guero's in Death Proof.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for Santa to talk about Bob Urich. Like,
yeah.
Well, he was on a show.
The Virginia.
Called The Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just, he had that same cadence. But he, I laughed out loud one time in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I laughed out loud twice in this
movie. Okay.
It's not super funny. But there are some jokes, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
The two times I laughed were when he goes to the restaurant and he's talking to everyone, and he approaches the couple. This is the couple with the Mickey Mantle card.
Oh, I like that scene. Just
the way he says hi to the wife,
yeah,
is so bizarre. Like, he's John and she's Mary. These are not their names.
Yeah.
John, how are you? Hello, Mary. It's been, like, it speaks of a history that we are not privy to.
Yeah.
But then Mary reveals herself to be sort of an awful person, so you get it.
Yeah.
But the way that he just tosses that line away and says so much with it, I thought was so great. And then I also laughed. What's his name? New girl. Lamar Morris. When he yells out, "I quit." As he's walking away.
Oh, okay.
During in the police station, yeah. He says, like, "You thought I was crazy? Ha ha! I quit." It's like that, a policeman just quit his job. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah, no, it's the thing I like about that movie the most, and I enjoyed it. Is
it's certainly watchable.
It's very watchable. It's very nice to see what is. I mean, it's for everybody, but it's a family movie. And, like, it's nice to see a family movie that's not manic. It's like high energy in certain parts and stuff like that, but it takes its time and it gives you breathing room. And
that's
one thing that I don't like about, like, all these kids' movies now is, like, the way I describe it is, when I was putting up Halloween decorations, I put up way too many Halloween decorations, and I was just like, I'm suffocating. And then I took away about half of them, and I'm just like, I've got breathing room now. I can enjoy this. Yeah. And that's what I felt like with Christmas Chronicles, where I'm just like, this is just enough stuff.
Right.
And I don't feel, like, overwhelmed by it. It's not, like, you know, beating me down or anything like that. So I also noticed that the take away, like, the witch element, it basically feels like a run around all night, like Hocus Pocus type movie.
Yeah, I mean, it basically is, but then again, it just every new scene, it's a different, not a different movie, because it's not like there's these dramatic tonal shifts, but it's just like each little set piece has very little to do with the set piece that came before it. So we have this long scene inside Santa's bag, and then we have the scene with the elves, and then we have him singing in jail, and then we have the big sled chase. And I'm unclear on the rules a lot of the time, which who cares? But like at the end of the movie, there's this big thing about we have to finish. There's 3 seconds left. You got to get it to this girl in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't get it in time, but also nothing happens.
Yeah, it still counts.
So what are the rules?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, again, who gives a shit? But if you're going to do all this, like, you should probably have some rules, because there's a lot of like, there's Christmas spirit is down to this and we only have this much time. Like, there are all these devices in place to create conflict, but there's no actual conflict because we just don't know what any of the rules are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like they avoided as much conflict as possible because they just want you to leave it on.
Right.
So it's like they don't want to offend anyone. But I give the children in this movie, like the characters, not the actors, like credit that if it were me and like I was with Santa all night,
Dreidel
Kurt Russell
cookie.
Or Dreidel Cookie? Mm. Wow.
Pretty right. good.
Let me see what I got. But I never really thought of
dreidel.
This before.
I put you in my mouth.
Yeah, I got another dreidel. I never really thought of this before, but I feel like being Santa on Christmas Eve would be really boring.
He says every Christmas Eve is the best night of my life, which I thought was a nice line.
Well, okay, now I feel like a jerk. But like, what I'm saying is, like, it's monotonous.
Yeah, but I feel like the rest of the year is boring. You're just fucking waiting around for one night a year.
Yeah, but like, say it's like you got to do the same shit like over and over and over and over
True.
Again, like millions of times.
But it looks like he can knock it out in like 2 hours.
Yeah, but that's probably makes
he just
it even
gets to
more
fuck
boring.
Around the rest of the time.
But that probably makes it even more boring. Like it's just like, oh god, it's like when you don't want to do something at work and you're just like, fine, I'll do it at 3.
I have a much bigger problem with so much of the movie being dependent on camcorder technology, because who's still using a camcorder?
Well, you know, that's the only way to keep Oliver Hudson alive.
No, he's trapped in the ornament forever.
Yeah, it's like Krampus.
I wanted to believe.
Or no, that was a snow globe.
Yeah. But yeah, when he appears in the ornament, I wanted it to be like he's trapped. It's like his hell. He's like decaying.
He's like,
you want to see your dad one more time, huh? Here he is. Also, Kimberly Williams, who is charming and, you know. Never mind. I was watching her and I was like, "Hi, who is she reminding me so much of?" And it turns out to be Steve Zahn. She's reminding me so much. If you put a brown wig on Steve Zahn, he would be Kimberly Williams.
Congratulations. You are alone in this one because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Put it on again tonight. Right. Imagine Steve's on in a brown wig.
Put it on again tonight. You got me doing so much work.
Yeah,
you
have to watch
Kevin
both
scenes
of these again. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought about texting you to tell you to watch Princess Switch again before we recorded, but it really
Hudson
is.
Oliver Hudson's stuck in the word of it.
He's trapped in the snow. Please help me. Please help me.
The kid's just like, Dad.
Wish
Dad.
Me out. Wish me out.
He's like, Dad. Dad. He's like, I can't be here for you every fucking second. He's like,
please keep the decorations up. I'm so lonely. Wish me out. Did someone say wish? Santa be gin?
What if I were to tell you it could be Christmas everlasting? 25 days of Christmas. Times many. Where do you come back from that?
Jin can turn Shimmer Portman into a real girl. Not the weird Pinocchio-like puppet she is.
Yeah. Oh, Shimmer Portman. Now I can't watch Annihilation without being like, Shimmer Portman on the new ABC. He said, she said. Just like, Rob got the promotion.
Next year's Netflix original Christmas movie is 100% going to star Shimmer Portman.
Oh,
but it's going to be like the third tier Netflix Christmas movie. It's not going to be their A-lister.
Yeah.
Because clearly that's going to be directed by Werner Herzog or something. They're getting so much goddamn talent now.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Yeah.
Did you find it weird in the scene where they had like the street toughs that like apprehend the kid? And then like he's like, my sister's in that bag. And they're like, throw it on the fire.
Yeah.
It's dark.
Oh, again, it becomes a new movie every few minutes where it's like, now this happens. I don't know. It turned into Adventures in Babysitting for like those 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I didn't like any of the stuff with the elves. I wasn't crazy about the effect. It was all kind of
you gotta decide if you're gonna go all cartoony because they looked like minions. Like it was too cartoony.
It was a real blarpy. Which you haven't seen Lost in Space, so you don't get that reference. But blarp is the worst CG creation of all time.
I've seen it, though. Like, I've seen Blurb.
Okay, yeah.
I know what you're talking
about. Hopkins bump.
Yep. Bill Heck bump.
There is an insane line of dialogue that I committed to memory near the end of the movie, about two-thirds of the way, when the boy has to drive the sleigh. First of all, very strange. Like, I'm watching Kurt Russell sort of whip the reindeer on Donner, on Blitzen, and I'm like, they do this every year. Don't they fucking know the score by now? Like, does he still have to cheer them on? Like, they know what to do, right? Does he really have to whip them and yell their names?
What was his name in Hateful Eight?
The Hangman, John... John, fuck.
Okay, so he's the Hangman. So what if he like whips the reindeer? He's like, how do you like the sound of them bells? He's like still.
I wanted him to be Wyatt Earp the whole movie. Does he?
You wanted
the thunder.
I wanted
you called down the thunder. Sorry.
I want him just to take like antique guitars that are priceless and just smash them like in every movie. You know,
John Ruth, John the Hangman, John Ruth.
Yeah. God, I want to watch that again
God
tonight.
Damn, that's a great movie.
Yeah, it is.
It's so good. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the kid is flying the sleigh or something because, I don't know, Santa's being kind of a dick because he can make it fly the whole time, it turns out.
Yeah.
But he says, like, if there's one thing reindeer can smell, it's fear. Why would that be the case? Why would reindeer need to smell fear? Why is that part of their... And what do they do? Like, we smell fear... Kill it. Like, what?
Yeah.
It makes it sound like if they smell fear, what's going to, they're going to kill you? What's,
it's just like, I think it's, smell. It's like, what's the matter, Comet? Does he smell fear, Santa? No, that's Willie Nelson's vagina.
It was this movie's, I guess we're going to Belgravia, where it's just like, I don't know, someone needs to say something here. So if there's one thing reindeer can smell, it's fear.
I was impressed that the boy wasn't like, he looked like if they did a hologram recreation of like 1991 Ethan Embry.
Interesting.
I'm like, that's Dutch.
Yeah,
right,
totally.
There. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, he's Dutch boy.
I'm not a smart man.
Okay.
So the reveal at the end was a legitimate happy surprise. Mm-hmm. We get Santa back at home. He's Mrs. Claus is there. Mm-hmm. And she's being shot very deliberately so that she's turned around. Mm-hmm. And I see the back and I'm like, well, this must be a reveal.
Yeah.
And yet in those few seconds, it never occurred to me that it would be Goldie Hawn. So when it turns out to be Goldie Hawn, it was like my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah,
it's a delight.
Really sweet.
Right.
Yeah.
It's so cute to see them together.
Mm-hmm.
But then he wants to like show her a sex tape. It wasn't a sex tape. It was just the footage that the girl shot.
Yeah,
but like, I just wanted to pretend that he and Mrs. Claus were going to make a freaky Christmas sex tape.
He's like, you want an Xfinity and missionary? You want a crackle and rim?
Jesus. Is crackle still a thing?
I think so.
That's what I took away from that, by the way. it was nice to see Goldie Hawn show up.
What if you could pick any movie next year to air on Netflix starring Shimmer Portman?
What would you
want the title to be?
I have two cookie stars of David.
Nice.
This feels anti-Semitic.
Why?
I don't know.
Eating a star of David is
anti-Semitic. I don't know. No? You don't think so?
I don't think so.
All right. An existing movie?
No, you can make it up. Just like, you got keywords. You got the princess. You got Christmas.
Oh,
you got
boy.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
That's tough, but that's where this is going, right?
Yeah.
Just Netflix taking an algorithm of keywords and casting Shimmer Portman in whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're just going to make movies robotically now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into it. I'll watch whatever it is.
I think it'll be Shimmer Portman in Hanukkah in Connecticut.
I'll watch it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it will be... They always get a guy who's, you've seen him in a thing, but you don't know his name.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with, he is the guy who played Chris on Gilmore Girls.
Mm. Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about, but I don't know his name.
Yeah, she's perfect. No. And Shimmer Portman.
She's
an all-night diner waitress. And then there's like an old man who doesn't have a wife anymore.
He died on the cross. What? Oh. Oh my God.
Michael Shannon is Job and Shimmer Portman.
Finally, the Christmas romantic comedy with Jesus as the lead.
Shimmer's Ark.
Right.
This Easter.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
If I don't find a wife by tonight, I'll never be born, says Jesus.
And on the eighth
this is
day,
the worst birthday ever.
He could have rested that day, but instead he made Shimmer Portman.
Shimmer Portman is my favorite thing to come out of this podcast.
Yeah. What about the drafting poem?
Required a lot more work, so I'll the drafting poem first,
you know,
Shimmer
what?
Portman second.
Honestly, maybe I'm just too close to the work, but I think I like Shimmer Portman better, too. I should have been so hard on you.
How many times have you seen Draft Day?
This year?
Sure.
This year, it's at least four.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. I always watch it on draft day.
Naturally.
The first day of the football season or the day that I draft my fantasy football team.
Okay.
And I usually watch it at another point in the NFL season. So say it came out in 2014.
So it's all within like a matter of months that you're watching it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It came out in April of 2014. So in the 4.5 years, let's say that I watched it, I don't know, I'm probably up to 20.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think I triple featured that with Oculus and The Raid. I think I saw all three of those movies the same day.
That's a really good day.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Yeah. Needs Shimmer Port.
Anyway, Netflix this Christmas,
yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Probably won't do it again next year.
No, you can.
We'll do a holiday show, but not a Netflix holiday show.
We are removing it from our list.
Oh, you were going to say, oh, was that what you were going to talk about with the Netflix thing with Christmas Chronicles? Where it was like asking you, it was like interacting
if
you
with you. Watch it again.
Because I noticed that the valet was watching Stranger Things. And I was okay, so we have Netflix placement inside of Netflix movies. Mm-hmm. Whatever, that's fine. But like, again, that's where this is going eventually, that Netflix is only going to carry Netflix content.
Yeah.
And I don't feel great about that.
I feel very disconnected. Like, even though I'm a huge movie fan, like, I don't. There's too many lanes now. It's like being a fan of all the sports. It's
okay.
It's like there's too much between Netflix having their own movies, and then you've got, you know, eventually, like, I'm sure the Disney streaming service will have their own movies.
Oh, sure.
And then you're going to have, like, you know, cable movies, but they're also like movies that play at festivals.
Right.
And you've got like stuff at the.
Like The Tale. Have you watched The Tale yet?
I haven't seen it yet. But like you have the movies that play at the Landmark theaters,
right.
Those indies. And then you have like the Fox Searchlight type indies.
Right.
And then you have the mainstream stuff. And then you've
VOD
got
stuff.
VOD stuff.
Redbox stuff.
Redbox stuff. It's just like it's too much to.
Yeah.
If you want to be part of the conversation,
right.
It's like
right.
Too much to like keep track of. So yeah. I feel like. It's just like cable news. It's like whatever flavor you want. Eventually, mm-hmm. It's just going to be like, okay, well, what, you know, there's going to be like a fucking reserve seating channel on like Roku probably in like a year.
Yeah.
And it'll just be the only things that Rob and I watch. I mean, like, it's just a lot. Like, I joked, but it's just like, okay, like, if Netflix is up for Oscar nominations, what's stopping, like, HBO from putting Paterno in a couple theaters and then that's going to win an Oscar? It's like, what's
right.
The difference?
So, is the objection, like, you don't want your chocolate mixing with your peanut butter?
I just feel like it, and this is just being, maybe me acting like I care more than I really do, but, like, I feel like it cheapens, like, what a movie is.
Okay.
Like, movies are for movie theaters.
Okay.
Like, there's TV movies.
Right.
But if it premieres on Netflix and only plays in 15 theaters around the country... It's a TV movie.
And whose argument, this was some film, was this Tarantino or Christopher Nolan? Somebody was making an argument very similar to this. Was it Spielberg?
Yeah, I think
okay.
It was Spielberg.
I remember someone saying like that this whole thing kind of cheapens movies. Because again, it's we're moving away from movies and we just keep moving more and more towards content.
Yes.
And...
They,
content
and they need to fill
is
it
king,
up. And it's
right?
Just, it doesn't matter the quality. It's just,
exactly.
Just
Netflix
fill it
just
up.
Needs stuff to show up that they own.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that's why we get the Kissing Booth, and the Princess Switch,
mm-hmm.
and every once in a while we get Roma or the Ballad of Buster Scruggs. Cool.
Yeah.
And I guess that makes it worth it, right? I mean.
And I don't know. I mean, like, maybe I'm wrong. I wasn't there in, like, the room when they were putting these deals together. But, like, I feel like Ballad of Buster Scruggs or Roma, like, if they really wanted it to be, like, a theatrical release, it could have been. It was just that.
Oh, for sure.
Like, these movies were something that Netflix threw a lot of money at. And I totally, like, really bought into the story where it's just, like, they don't care about the quality of any of this stuff. All they care about, and they don't care if you're watching it. They just care that you're still subscribed.
100%.
And, like, all they need is, like, it's like that carrot. It's like, well, I can't cancel it because they're going to have a Martin Scorsese movie.
Right.
Like, that's all they need.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Well, and I think maybe that's part of the appeal for filmmakers because they are just going to be left the fuck alone.
Yeah.
Think about, you know, the Coens trying to make Buster Scruggs theatrically. Now, they might be able to because they have a pedigree and they can do certain things within a certain budget.
Yeah.
But when the theatrical landscape has changed into what it is, I can't blame filmmakers for being like, oh, if I go to Netflix, they'll give me X amount of money and never
bother me
at all. Like, just let me make the movie I want to make. No notes, nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100% I'm going to Netflix.
Yeah.
And it sucks because some of those movies do deserve to be seen on a big screen.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm softening on Netflix a bit because like what you said, like, I mean, like if. They're not playing these movies in theaters, so it's just like they have to go somewhere, and like all that is in theaters are the Bumblebees and Aquamans and all this shit. So it's just like, okay, like I should be pro Netflix and like anti stuff in theaters then by that regard, but I just want them to not give up I don't, because I feel like with Netflix, it's just like, well, this is the type of movie that will be on Netflix now, and these are the type of movies that will be in theaters. And like I said, my big problem is I can't keep up with everything. There's
well, and that's
stuff.
And that's what it is too with Netflix. Yeah. Like, there's two entire series that dropped in October.
Yeah.
Haunting of Hill House and Sabrina. Yeah. I want to watch both.
Mm-hmm.
When am I going to have, you know, those 24 hours to knock that stuff out and watch all the other movies and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Again, the Netflix is at least giving us more of a variety in terms of quality now. Mm-hmm. It's not all shit. Now there's like good stuff and then lots of shit. And the problem is wading through it and what is shit and what isn't, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, there's no one who's more pro cinema mm-hmm. than Martin Scorsese. And if he's choosing to make a movie at Netflix, there has to be a reason.
I think it's because they gave him like over $150 million to make his movie.
But if the studio's not going to do that, then of course, like, I'm all for him going to Netflix and making it, because...
And I'm very excited about The Irishman, because at the very least, I'm just like, it's got De Niro, Pacino, and Pesci, who's never in a movie.
Right.
So it's like, that's great.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, Netflix, I was being too hard on you, but it's a weird time to be a movie fan. Like, you have to almost make a decision of what kind of movie fan you are now. And, like, I'm sort of leaning towards the, like, going back and watching older stuff type of movie fan.
And I find myself retreating and doing the same thing. And I never wanted to be that person. I was always much more cognizant of doing it with music
mm-hmm.
because I was aware that I had those tendencies a little bit more. And Erica's always like, but yeah, but you should still like be aware of what's out there. You don't want to be one of these people, you know, you don't want to be your parents. You don't
want to be about music.
Yeah. Okay. Like, you don't want to be your parents where you're really only aware of like, the stuff that you're into, the stuff from when you were a kid or in high school or whatever. Yeah. Right. You want to at least be aware of what's going on now.
Mm-hmm.
But I never minded as I'm like, oh, I'm not super passionate about music anymore. So I'm fine with only listening to what I like.
Mm-hmm.
But I find myself going that way with movies, too. And that's disconcerting because this was my number one. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I didn't even realize The Mule had come out.
Yeah. Which, like, I've heard is okay.
I've heard mixed things.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, at least that feels like something that I would want to have seen like 10, 15 years ago. Like, it's
right. In theory, it's a movie for adults, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, it's a movie for adults. It's the type of thing that I'm bemoaning isn't in there. It's like, it's a star vehicle.
Right.
Or like even Mary Poppins Returns. I'm like, this feels like something that could have came out in 1992. I like Emily Blunt. I'm game.
Sure.
Like, even that's fine.
Right.
But like, just everything else. Like, it's just,
I feel checked out of,
they're all just these
theaters. Right. Yeah. And I'm retreating more and more into older movies, which is mm-hmm. fine as a movie fan because I'm seeing a lot of good stuff and I'm never going to run out of stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't like being disconnected from what's happening currently. But I feel the same way. It's overwhelming. It's exhausting.
Yeah. Also, the conversation, not with like anybody on the site or anything like that, but just in general when I talk to people, like friends or family members and stuff like that, or even like when I see critics' reviews. I like when people like stuff, but I feel like everybody likes everything now. Like, if you look at any tentpole movie, mm-hmm. like on Rotten Tomatoes or Metacritic or whatever like that, it's always like 80. It's like always like, this is like 95% of the people think like Wreck-It Ralph 2 is good.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, why are we giving, like, these are so forgettable. Like, they're just in one ear out the other type of movies. Like, sure, it's competent and well-made, but, like, there's no idiosyncrasy to any of it.
Right.
Like, you're not going to remember any of it. It's not, I don't know. I definitely sound like an old man, and I apologize like movies now, but
I listened to this week's Trailers from Hell podcast, mm-hmm. and Joe Bob Briggs was the guest, and Joe Dante threw something out just as an aside, and he's not the first person to make this observation, but I'm thinking of it as you're saying this, where he said, like, he talked about what was happening in the world now. And he said, yeah, people do seem really drawn to like escapist stuff right
mm-hmm.
now
mm-hmm.
as a reaction to everything that sucks in the world.
Yeah.
And maybe that's part of what you're talking about, that like everything is escapism and everyone feels pretty good about it because they got to escape for 2 hours. So there's no measurement of quality. It's just, hey, did I forget how bad things suck for 2 hours? I did. Yeah, this was okay then, you know. I felt better during these 2 hours than during the other 22 during my day.
It's the Dwayne the Rock Johnsonification of everything, where it's just like, as long as I'm in it and I'm smiling, that's
right,
all that matters.
Right. And maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Yeah. You know, I would hope that we would be seeing more interesting stuff given what's happening.
I just want the star system to come back. Like, I want this.
Yeah.
I want whatever this IP bubble is to just burst. I thought it would have burst by now, but like, I just want it to go away, because the thing that's going to be really interesting, and I'm sure they'll find a way to make it work, but one thing that I find really interesting is, like, the people who are kids now, when they grow up, what are they going to want to reboot? Because it's just copies of copies. It's not anything that they originally discovered themselves.
Right.
So, like, what they're, I'm hoping that means that they're going to be forced to, like, my generation, like, drop the ball in creativity. It's like, I'm hoping they pick it up. But it bums me out. I want something for them to have as their own. But, you know, if I'm taking my family to movies, they're just having rehashes of stuff that I grew up with. And it's kind of a bummer, at least for me. Maybe they don't care. But
well, and it's hard to imagine. And again, I say this because I'm old and sort of cynical. But it's hard to imagine a kid being inspired by the movies that are coming out now, like to have it capture their imagination in such a way that they want to tell stories and make movies. And so they grow up trying to recapture the thing they saw as a kid, because, you know, Avengers Infinity War is fun and it's a good big blockbuster movie. But like, is a kid in 20 years going to be like, I want to make a movie that made me feel the way Avengers Infinity War did? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But what the fuck do I know? I recently was like linking to an old article I think that you and I wrote about, like, hey, are there too many comic book movies? And I swear at one point I was like, well, 2015 is going to be the year that the bubble bursts, or 2016, whatever. I was like, because we got Batman versus Superman and we got Spider-Man 2 and we got this. And I just could not have been more wrong. So I have no clue what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And I'm not even singling out comic book movies.
No,
because,
no.
Like, more often than not, they're of higher quality than like some of the reboots or reimaginings and stuff like that. I think like I really hit the wall when it came to like sidequels. And requels. I'm just like, this isn't yours.
Right. Like Leprechaun Returns, you mean?
Yeah, like, and they might be good, but like Halloween I thought was fine, but like, it's just like, in theory, I think it's such a lazy thing to do.
Sure. Well, yeah. Again, it's postmodernism where we just pick and choose the things that we want to.
Or it's just like, let's comment on it. It's like, we should just do something genuinely.
Or just make a movie with new characters. Yeah. I was annoyed watching that Hellboy trailer, and like, it looks fine, and I like Neil Marshall, and I'm sure I'll see it, right? Because American Honey is in it, and that's interesting. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it was called, I didn't know what it was called. Mm-hmm. I just knew there's, the Neil Marshall Hellboy movie. So it gets to the end of the trailer, and it's called Hellboy.
Yeah, it's like it's replacing it.
And I'm like, what the? So now we just always have to, well, which Hellboy are you talking about? Oh, the Del Toro one or the Neil Marshall? Oh, Halloween 2018 or Halloween 74? Like, we can't even come up with new titles.
Yeah. So, in short, the holiday show, we really brought the house down. And when I say down, you know what I mean.
This episode ended with an avalanche of coal.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Sorry, Shimmer.
Thank you guys very much for listening, Adam. This is always a fun show to do, so thank you.
You're welcome. Real quick, to maybe end us like a little bit on a lighter note.
I take
the full blame on that. I apologize.
No, it's fine. It's a good conversation. Better than anything we said about the Princess Switch.
Oh my god. I'll take all the bumblebees if it means no more Princess Switches. There's five people that have really meant a lot to me this year, and I just want to give a quick shout out. So I want to say happy holidays to Robo Patriot. I want to say happy holidays to Rumspringa Predator. Hopefully you're on winter vacay somewhere good. I want to say happy holidays to Spine Shank. I would like to say they're us, like me, to the clone from Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. I hope you're having a good holiday season. even though it's the dawn of the extinction, because of you single-handedly. And then also, nobody did it better than John Gotti, and I just want to say thank you. You looked out for the neighborhood when no one else would. You did. Just thank you to John Gotti and John Gotti Jr. I mean, so wrongly in prison. So happy holidays to you guys. Nobody did better, and that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
And God bless us, Shimmer Report.
Thanks for listening to FS Movie.